I tell this to my mom all the time. She's like the most giving person in the world. But I tell her, hey, like you need to put on your own oxygen mask. You need to like really pour into yourself because that's what's going to equip you to show up for other people in a sustainable way.
Hello and welcome to the Personal Development School podcast. I am so excited you're here. I am your co-host, Thais Gibson, along with our new special host, Mike Dizio. This is a podcast that discusses everything related to integrated attachment theory, the new attachment theory, along with the subconscious mind, relationships, communication, needs, boundaries, and so much more. Throughout this podcast, you'll see a series of episodes I upload with new information, educational tips all about how to thrive in relationships and really master your emotional state in your life, along with special guests hosted by Mike Dizio to discuss all of these amazing topics in some longer form content. Thank you so much for being here, and I really hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome back, PDS viewers and listeners, to another great podcast. We have a great one today for you. My guest today is an empath who's had a deep abandonment wound growing up. She suffered from anxiety, perfectionism, people-pleasing, and found herself in several unhealthy relationship dynamics, including ones that were narcissistic. Fast forward to 2020, she had a painful breakup with a dismissive avoidant, which amplified her abandonment wound. This breakup led her to her biggest breakthrough, and it drove her to work on healing her attachment style, her childhood trauma, and rediscover her authentic self. She's been a regular at the Personal Development School since 2021, soaking in all the information and teachings from Thais. She's got her Integrated Attachment Theory coaching certification from PDS and is now a life coach. Podcast viewers and listeners, today we're going to talk about some personal stories along with some life tips that Nirosha uses through her journey. I want to happily introduce Nirosha Dhanaraj. Hey, Nirosha, how are you doing today?
Hi, Mike. I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good. Thank you for being here. We'll start out, Nirosha. Just basically, would you be able to briefly tell us about your background, your backstory, if you want to talk about your family life growing up, just kind of what brought you to this point and what's your life been like up until now?
Sure. Yeah. First of all, thank you so much for having me. I would just like to start off by telling you that growing up, I was a highly sensitive child. I had really strong emotions, and I didn't quite understand that about myself because I grew up in a family system and school system that really didn't have a lot of literacy around emotional skills. So I pretty much shamed that part of myself, and I ended up in a career and in a major in college, which did not really align with my authentic self. It wasn't until much later in life, after a traumatic event, that I really started digging into who I was. And that was when I started really embracing my sensitivity as a superpower. And I really started to like reclaim parts of myself. So this is me now living as that authentic version and sharing deep parts of myself that I hadn't really embraced for myself. And I'd kind of hid away from the world.
Definitely can relate with the school system not really teaching these types of tools, especially emotional literacy. And as a sensitive person, that's probably very confusing and scary if you don't know. You have all these feelings and you're not really sure how to manage them or what to do with them, right? So definitely can relate with that. Thank you so much for sharing. So I just want to know then, in your own life, was there like a catalyst or like a moment or someone who you met? What really pushed you to be like, I need to dive into my own healing journey or heal my attachment style?
So I experienced a really painful breakup in 2020 when the world was going through its own pandemic. I was going through a personal pandemic. I broke up with a DA, and it wasn't even like really a long relationship or anything like that. It was fairly short, which is why I couldn't wrap my mind around why it was so painful for me. And that was when I was like, I have to get to the root cause of this. I found life coaching. I found Thais's channel. And Thais's channel really helped me give context to a lot of the DA's behavior, because as an anxious leaning individual, I found myself personalizing a lot of what happened during the relationship. And if you're an AP listening to this, I'm sure you can relate. Like APs have a lot of wounds around feeling rejected and feeling like the other person doesn't like them or doesn't love them. And I realized later through Thais's teaching that DAs cope with things differently. They minimize their attachment needs when they are feeling a lot. That is just their way of protecting themselves. So that helped me give context to what really happened in the relationship. And that really pushed me, like I said earlier, to healing my attachment style.
With you mentioning that you were a perfectionist, I can imagine, you know, a lot of these behaviors, you were personalizing them. You were thinking, oh, this must be me, or I must not be good enough, or I must not be proving my worth enough if they're not giving me attention or whatnot. So just learning about sort of the DA and their wounding and whatnot, I guess that helped you to not personalize it and not put all the blame on your side, right?
Yeah. And one other thing as you were talking that really stood out to me was I really personalized the fact that they moved on so easily. So from my perspective, they really got wrapped into work. They pushed themselves into like working really hard because it was a pandemic and they had a business and stuff like that. So that was so heartbreaking for me. But now I know that's just the DA going into their creature comfort. So yeah, that was really kind of comforting to know and learn about.
For sure. And we all think sort of everybody operates the same way that we do. So, you know, if you're really into connection and romantic relationships, especially being more on the anxious side, you probably couldn't even fathom that somebody wouldn't have that same like drive to have a relationship and have that being their number one purpose in life. Whereas some people, you know, they're at a stage in life where career is the most important thing or can be any number of things. But yeah, I can definitely see the pain points there where if you're thinking like, why isn't this person putting relationship as number one, the most important thing ever, right? So you mentioned anxious leaning. So what was your attachment style before you did this inner work? Were you strictly anxious preoccupied, would you say?
I was more AP leaning FA.
Okay.
Some FA tendencies as well.
And what would you say sort of what were some of the most hardest or like most challenging things about being that attachment style?
I think as an AP, the hardest part is dealing with breakups in general. I know like breakups suck for like every attachment style, but they show up really somatically, like on a somatic level. I remember having really bad anxiety attacks back then, and I felt so alone. And part of it is because the AP gets their sense of self from the outside in. So they really want that person back to feel better. They feel like their survival is at stake at a subconscious level. Fast forward to now, it's not like I am completely indifferent to pain. Like I shared with you and I think people from the inner circle, I just went through a breakup again like 2 months ago, but I feel like I'm way more resourced. But yeah, that would be the hardest part about dealing with just situations or relationships in general for an AP is dealing with a breakup aspect of it. And I would also say that if you have FA tendencies, a lot of fears come up for you. So I do remember when I got really close with this person, and even though they were really into it, they wanted to take the relationship to the next level. I remember really like feeling my body like freeze and shake. And now I have context for that. I remember like, I just didn't feel right about it for some reason. And now I know it's like the commitment fears coming up. So if you have an FA side, there's also this fear, like even if the person is healthy, that can really come up for you. And the other thing that I remember happening for me is, or that keeps happening in a lot of cases, is I kind of recreate dynamics that are chaotic and you're kind of drawn to that in a lot of ways. So that can be really challenging as well, because a part of your conscious mind, like Tai says, really wants like a thriving relationship. But then your subconscious mind is also drawn to like the pull of chaos and like uncertainty. So there are a lot of conflicting parts of you. So I would say those would be the most challenging parts of being like APFA.
Yeah, most definitely. Do you mind if I dig into a little bit just so our viewers who are not AP or not on the anxious side, when a breakup happens, what's sort of the feeling or what's the thought? Like, is it literally like my world is coming to an end? Or is it body sensations, like just literally feeling like there's something like really wrong here? Can you dig just a little bit into what a breakup feels more like for an anxious person?
Oh, yes. So I think the first sensation that I remember having is like this deep hollow feeling in my gut, as if like someone just punched me in the gut. Mm. And also this pressure on my chest. I remember feeling like I just couldn't eat or sleep anymore. I remember feeling really confused. I remember not being able to eat for days. And I know this sounds really extreme, but that's really what I went through. It's like your body's going in shutdown mode. Like it just can't live anymore. Like it needs this person to feel safe and to feel okay again in the world. Right. So it's almost like you're going into survival mode. And also I remember feeling like my legs would get really tingly and I would have like body aches all over my body. Those would be some manifestations of it.
Yeah, that's obviously pretty scary and intense. And yeah, if the other person was sort of your mechanism of soothing and feeling better, when they're gone, it's almost like you have nothing. You're like, I don't even know how to feel better right now. That can definitely be scary. And I know we have a lot of students come into the school and they want to take how to heal from a breakup course, like right away, like first thing that they want to do, because they just want this pain to go away so badly. So definitely have a lot of empathy for anxious leaning people who experience breakups. You shared with us examples of AP and what that was like. Since working on your attachment style and your attachment traumas, what have been some of the areas of inner growth that you've experienced?
I think the biggest growth for me would be now I have like standards and non-negotiables in place. I would like to give an example from something that happened recently, my most recent situationship, I like to call it. I met this person back in January and things were going great. I was just like friends with them and I started developing feelings. And former me would have just like kind of went along with it because I was like so happy and I felt really known by this person and really seen by this person. But now the way I know that I have grown a lot as a person is because I found myself evaluating. I was like, do I really want to invest so much time and energy into this person? And I realized this person actually wasn't available. They are just not an available person. And they told me that as well, but they were okay with just hanging out, right? And a lot of us will want to settle for that because we're like, well, that's better than nothing. And I would have settled for it because you feel really lonely and you really want connection, especially if you're anxious leaning. But this time around, I sat down and had a conversation with myself. I kind of saw whether or not this person matched my non-negotiables and my standards. And the answer was no. And I'm so proud of myself for actually having that tough conversation with this person and walking away from it. I think that has been my biggest growth, like is walking away from situations and relationships that were not aligned for me. So I would say that was the biggest point of celebration for me. And also, I remember one other experience in 2022. And I remember Thais helping me with this because I was really drawn to this other person who was narcissistic. And I came to one of the webinars and I was like, I really like this person. And Thais was like, this person has a bouquet of red flags. I literally remember her saying that, but I wasn't quite like convinced at that point. But I think through a lot of like inner growth and just evaluating on an ongoing basis whether or not I want to stay in this, I was able to close that door permanently. So those would be ways in which I think I've experienced inner growth.
Yeah, that's unbelievable because touching on what we said before, when you've experienced a breakup and you're more anxious leaning, you're just craving that physical touch. You're craving that connection. So it can be so easy just to get that quick fix and go with someone who maybe is not in the best interest for you. But to say no, like you very smartly had sort of your non-negotiables set out. And even if something feels really right, like feels, oh, wow, the chemistry is great here. If those non-negotiables are there and you're looking for one thing and this person's looking for another, the really hard thing to do, but what you just touched on, the growth, is to walk away from a situation like that. So definitely commend you for that because that's massive. I've definitely been there before. I'm sure a lot of us have, but that is a huge area of growth. Thank you so much for sharing that. So Narosha, I was curious, what are some examples of issues in your past relationships being an anxious leaning person? Could you just let us know some of the issues that would happen over and over repeatedly?
Yeah, I would find myself somehow drawn to people that had some element of unavailability. And I can think back to this just one example back in 2011, where I was in this unavailable dynamic for over 2 years, almost 3 years. And now looking back, I was like, what was I even doing? But at the time, I just felt so happy. I felt seen for the very first time. And I was like, I can do anything the situation requires for me to be able to be around this person. And I remember just hanging out with them literally every week and doing things for them as APs. Like I'm sure a lot of our viewers would be able to relate where, you know, we are great connectors. We know what the other person's needs are. We are so good at being in touch with it. So we're so good at like catering to other person's needs. And I found myself doing that. I taught this person how to drive, et cetera, et cetera. And none of that is bad in and of itself, obviously, because this person was a good person, but it's just that they were not available for me. And I was overgiving, and I was trying to get my worth, gain my worth from like people pleasing this person for like 2 or 3 years. So that was just an example of the kind of dynamics I would find myself in. And when I was younger, in my teens, I found myself like, again, being in one-sided dynamics where I would be like limerent or be in like a fantasy bond with a person where in my head, I'd be like obsessively thinking about someone I really admired. It could have been a neighbor. And I would just get, I feel like now that I think about it, subconsciously, I got a lot of my needs met because I was just feeling like this person saw me and they noticed me, and that made me feel valuable deep down. So that's just a few examples. I guess if I had to answer your question in one sentence, it would be I would find myself in one-sided, non-reciprocal dynamics over and over.
Right, right. And I just want to touch on that whole thing about being seen. Like, if we're not seeing ourselves, then we're kind of setting ourselves up sometimes for being with someone who's also going to reflect that and not see ourselves. But I can imagine when you were with this person who saw you for the first time, it must have felt like the clouds were opening up, like, wow, somebody actually sees me and understands me.
Oh my God, totally touched on that. You were like spot on with that, because I can really remember the moment. It's been like, what, 13, 14 years, but I remember the moment this person like walked up to me and smiled. And I remember feeling seen for the very first time in my life. So wow. Yeah.
That's really special. Yeah, I remember, I think one of my first girlfriends, I didn't love myself, and I thought there was something really wrong with me. And she made me feel really like normal. Like, she's like, no, like you're good. Like you're way less messed up than you think you are. And I was like, wow, really? So I like needed somebody else to like convince me of that. So it's really interesting, like these beliefs that we take on, that to the outside world, people are like, no, like you're awesome. So anyway, thanks for sharing that. So basically, for any APs, anxious preoccupieds out there, anxious leaning people, what areas or what do you think is the most important thing that they need to focus on for their healing?
I would say developing a relationship with your inner child is very, very important, because as APs, we tend to be very critical of ourselves. We almost tend to be our biggest enemy in a way, not to sound too extreme, but we abandon ourselves, we betray ourselves just to, you know, please other people. And so I think developing a relationship with yourself is very important. And I love how Thais puts it. She says, especially if you're an empath, you know, it's not a subtraction. It's not like you have to see others less. So you see others, and you see what you have to do is like you have to bring up the empathy for yourself. So you are seeing yourself and you're seeing the other person. So it's like this nice interdependence that you're developing. So if we are able to do that as APs, we're able to put on our own oxygen mask. I tell this to my mom all the time. She's like the most giving person in the world. But I tell her, hey, like you need to put on your own oxygen mask. You need to like really pour into yourself, because that's what's going to equip you to really show up for other people in a sustainable way.
For sure. I love that. Yeah, it's nice to be loved by everyone. It's nice to treat everyone nice and do things for people. But there's going to be times where you need to do things for yourself and take that time to sort of recover and, you know, go inwards and ask yourself, what do I need here? So definitely it's good. We need to flip that sometimes and take a look inside and make sure, okay, we're not just pleasing people outside of us to stay safe, to keep people from not abandoning us and people pleasing. So that's definitely something for APs to look at. Thanks for sharing that. So I know you mentioned to me, Nirosha, that you have many experience in online dating. You're somewhat of an online dating expert. What can you share about your experiences to our viewers and listeners about your years and years of online dating, and maybe something they can learn from your experience and successes and mistakes?
Yeah, I have a lot to share here, so bear with me.
Get the popcorn. Let's go.
Okay. Yeah, I've been on over, I think, 100 first dates. I've been on all kinds of, you know, all the dating apps that are out there. So I have been on the receiving end of being ghosted or getting stood up on, what have you. But I think through all of these experiences, I've really developed, you know, this relationship with myself. and I have become more persistent in life. And the way I like to, this comes up a lot, like when I'm speaking to like clients and other friends who are dating and, you know, getting on apps, and they always tell me, you know, oh my gosh, dating nowadays sucks and dating apps suck. And what I like to tell them is, yes, it sucks. Like, I think it's really important that we acknowledge our frustration. And at the same time, we don't want to stop there, right? We want to develop this mindset of how can I empower myself in this space, given the challenges that I know are going to come my way. So the way I equip myself when I go out on dates is I see it at every date, every quote unquote failed date or failed relationship as a stepping stone that's taking me closer to my end goal, to meeting that right person. Right? It's a process, and it's a messy process. There's no other way of getting there. It's almost like a game of Mario, right? Like, who would want to play Mario if you were just given the end? I don't even know what Mario gets in the end of the game. Like, no one wants to just get to the reward right away, right? The joy is in the journey. It's in the ups and downs. And so I would invite you, if you are struggling with online dating, for those watching or listening, see every experience as a stepping stone. And see it as, okay, what can I learn from this experience? What has this experience taught me about myself, taught me about what standards I need to have next when I go back into this space again? And for me, it has been a beautiful experience of getting to know other people, getting to know myself. And not just that, like I shared earlier, as an empath, I feel things really strongly, right? So when a date doesn't work out, it really stings a lot. And I find myself asking, why am I having to suffer so much, right? Especially with a breakup situation, I go, why am I having to suffer? This person isn't suffering as much as I am. And the perspective that I've developed recently is like, how can I alchemize pain? I love this terminology, like pain alchemy. It's like, how can I turn these quote unquote bad experiences into something beautiful? And my way of doing that is like through storytelling. I love telling stories. I love connecting with people, which is what like sparked journey into like YouTube. I just started a YouTube channel and I'm like, I would have never done that. But the pain, all of the suffering that I went through is like getting alchemized now. So that sparked that idea in my head. And also I recently started a podcast where I literally shared things about the struggles that I went through with my recent situationship. And so I would invite you to do the same. Turn your pain into art. What is it that you like to do? Some people like to write songs, and it's okay if no one wants to listen to them. But I think it's very therapeutic when you write about your experiences, when you share your experiences with the world.
Yeah, definitely. You touched on something there, and I just want to dig a little deeper into it. How do you deal with being like ghosted or quote unquote rejected? If somebody doesn't kind of choose you, what's your mindset now? Or if somebody ghosts you, what's your mindset? So you're not, you said, you know, it stings a little bit, but how do you not like let that sit with you for too long and then able to get back on the saddle?
The first thing I do is process the emotion somatically, because you don't want to invalidate the pain. It stings, right? It shows up in your body. So you want to acknowledge the pain and you want to like connect to your inner child. I do a lot of inner child dialoguing where I'll be like, yes, this stings, this hurts a lot. And I see that. And it makes sense why it feels the way it does. And then once I process the emotion at a somatic level, I'll also write down all the reasons why this might not be personal. I'll write down reasons like maybe this person doesn't know how to communicate, you know, maybe they are conflict avoidant. Maybe they are scared. Maybe there was a time in their life earlier when they communicated and they got cussed out. So I will write down all the reasons why it's not personal or it could not be personal. And one other thing actually I've done in my experiences in the past is I will really write a text. And this is not a way, this is not like a sure shot way of it working out, but I have literally told them that, hey, like, I'm not going to hold this against you. You know, it's totally fine. I know things come up and I just need to know like what really happened so I can get clarity around it. And that kind of vulnerability people have responded to really well, because they told me, and I asked them like, why did you just stop responding? And they were like, we were scared like how you're going to react to things. So when I just approached it vulnerably, you know, they were able to give me the reason why they didn't want to show up or whatever. Mm-hmm. And obviously not everyone is going to respond well to that, but that's just like a hack.
Yeah, I know for myself, I was just, when I was doing the online dating thing, I've done it many times for my life. I would love to do a whole podcast on online dating because I love this topic as well. But truly, like if somebody ghosts you, A, you're sort of getting almost like a gift that like, okay, if they're going to do stuff like this, I'm glad it happened early on. That's number one. Number two, you never know what someone's going through on the other side. So it's kind of not fair to put it all on yourself. Like, oh, I must have done something bad, or I must have, maybe I was eating unattractively during the date. There could be a million and one reasons of why, but that's not fair to torture ourselves because really we have no clue what's going on the other side. And I think the perspective that helps me the most is that there's no way that every person I go on a date with that I want to engage in a romantic relationship with, that's dating. So if I'm not going to choose every single person who might be interested in me, why would I expect every single date has to think that I'm for them? If they don't choose me, maybe they don't see our lives lining up. Maybe they don't see that we have the same values or things that we find fun or funny. Like there could just be a million different things. Like you said, you know, it's a stepping stone. It's a refining process. I would rather go on a bunch of dates to finally meet the person that I know, okay, I think this is really someone that we can work together with, then, you know, just pick the next person I go on a date with and be like, okay, I got to make this work. So yeah, that's, thanks for sharing that. Yeah, maybe we'll do a future podcast where we just talk about online dating because I find this whole topic fascinating. And I think you remember we used to have the online dating routine in the personal development school. So we would have people talk about their experiences. We would give them tools and tips for how to sort of date consciously. So yeah, it's a really, really interesting area to dive into. Thanks for sharing.
I just wanted to pop in here and let you know we are doing a 7-day free trial to the All Access Membership Pass at PDS, which means you get access to literally everything inside of the school. That means you get access to the 4 live webinars I do every single week. You can come in, you can ask me questions with your camera on, we can chat. You can leave your camera off if you prefer or type your questions in the chat. There's lots of opportunity to get your questions answered. And on top of that, you get access to all of our different courses. We have over 55 different courses on relationships, communication, boundaries, emotional mastery, guilt and shame, learning your needs, so many different facets that are really important to master our lives and feel really good about our lives going forward. And last but not least, there's also community elements in there. So there's a daily community event, whether it's practicing communication or doing a guided morning routine or a guided reprogramming exercise. We have trained facilitators and coaches who are in there doing that work, showing up to support you on your journey every single day. So I would love to see you on the other side. There's lots of exciting stuff in there. And we have had a 99.7% NPS score, which means we have literally that many people who report being really successful at PDS and wanting to recommend this to others. And it was all done anonymously. So I felt really honored that everybody shared that. So thank you to those of you who did. But yeah, please join me on the other side. Come check it out. See if it's a fit for you. I'd love to see you there.
So Nirosha, we know that you're now an integrated attachment theory coach through Personal Development School. In your coaching practice, is there any area that you'd say you're specialized in or that you sort of like to help people with specialty-wise?
Yeah, I am a huge proponent of inner child work. If you couldn't tell already, I speak to my inner child all the time. And when I say inner child, you could look at it as your subconscious mind being personified. It's essentially the programs that you developed till you were like 7 years old or in your most impressionable years. So essentially you're talking to a younger version of you and you're connecting with them. So I help my clients connect to that part of themselves. And recently I've developed a passion for helping people walk away from situationships post my most recent experience. So I'm just feeding a calling to help people in community. So I'm working on building a support group for people who are experiencing a breakup, who need help walking away from a situationship, because it's literally like walking away from addiction. And it's like a form of addiction, right? Because you know, your conscious mind knows one thing, but your subconscious mind is pulling you in the other direction. So I am in the process of building a support group for people experiencing breakups and people that are walking away from situationships. And also one other set of people that have a passion for and heart for is highly sensitive folks, people like me, empaths. So I'm also building a support group for them. I specialize in really helping them get to know themselves and helping them feel seen and understood. So I'm just in the process of developing a group of like-minded individuals there.
Wow, I love that. That's some really good areas there. And I know a lot of HSPs kind of suffer and feel like, oh my gosh, I wish I wasn't like this. So would you say like acceptance is a big piece for HSPs to realize, yes, they are different, but they're also quite beautiful and have gifts and abilities that normal people might not have?
Oh, exactly. I mean, you're spot on, because the number one thing I take HSPs through is like seeing themselves and accepting themselves for who they are. Because if you were to Google, like when I Google like HSPs, the first thing like people Google is like, how do I become less sensitive?
Yeah.
You know, how do I just shut down or kill my feelings? And you don't want to do that, because that's a beautiful part of you. So you were spot on there. And that's something that we HSPs need to do, is embrace our gifts and see them for what they are, bring them out into the world. Like for me now, I'm more in acceptance of it. So don't be surprised if I start crying in the middle of this podcast, if I get really moved by, you know, something you share, and I just embrace that part of me. I'm like, I'm just going to let myself be. And you know what, when you're vulnerable, you attract people similar to you. And people love vulnerability. People love to connect with people that are raw with their emotion.
Attract people that are similar to you and give them permission to be like, oh my gosh, like I'm actually safe to like also cry here. Like it, you create sort of a safe container for people when you take the lead in that department. Side story, but I'm a huge fan of UFC and MMA, mixed martial arts. And sometimes in the fighter interviews, you'll see these fighters crying after the fights. And it's so interesting to me, because these guys are like the most tough alpha male guys. But when they're crying, it's beautiful. They're sharing something that like moved them, or like something in training that happened, or something that's going on with their family. And it's just nice to see that these men who you would never call like a wimp or a wussy are out there crying openly. And everybody's really like, wow, that took a lot of courage and a lot of guts. So definitely we need to embrace, like if you got to cry, cry it out. Not only is it good for you to do, to sort of let out whatever's inside, again, you're attracting people who will accept that. And then you're giving permission for people to do that as well. So you've been a member of PDS since 2021. Without giving away the whole secret sauce, what sort of tool would you say, or what area has made the biggest impact for you in personal development school?
For me, what got me to sign up for PDS was Thais's content on needs. I still remember I was sitting in my bedroom, you know, I was just a YouTube member back then, just a YouTube subscriber back then. And I remember opening this video where she talked about needs. And I was like, wow, this makes so much sense. I wish someone taught me this in school, right? That I have needs, and that kind of forms my identity, my sense of self, and that I'm allowed to advocate for my needs, that I'm allowed to design a life that aligns with my unique set of needs. So that was the biggest game changer for me. So if nothing else, I would invite everyone to check out the course on needs and check out like webinars. There's like multiple webinars that Thais has done on personality needs, your unique personality needs. And that helps you like really get to know yourself in a deep and intimate way, in my opinion.
Definitely. And you touched on before, career-wise, you chose careers that weren't fulfilling or not really, you know, good for you. Is that right?
Yes, that's 100% true, because I used to compare myself to my peers a lot. So it was right. More like I would look at what society expected me to do versus what drove me as a person, what drives me as a person is emotional connection, social connection. So now I'm like more tapped into those parts of me as a result of that.
Definitely. Yeah, like it's such a disservice that if you're living for, you know, your parents' wishes or your friends' wishes, you're taking your own specific personality needs and you're saying like, forget about these aren't important. When really those are the things, if you're fulfilling those, you're going to feel more energy, more connected to people, more on purpose. Like there's just so many things that come with understanding what your personality needs are and then intentionally filling those needs buckets, as we call them. When those buckets are full, you're just, you know, you're operating at like 100%, like things are just amazing. And similar to you, I picked so many like school programs and I went in so many directions that were just opposite of my needs. I didn't know about needs either before. So a lot of like wasted time in school. I have a bachelor's degree in general studies and a college diploma in general studies because I had no clue what I wanted to do. I knew nothing about my needs and what I really wanted. So I just thought, oh, I'll just get these degrees and take a course here and there. It was pretty funny. I laugh now and, you know, no regrets. I still learned a lot. But had I known my personality needs structure, I probably would have chosen a different route. But look, it brought me here. So I'm pretty happy with the way things turned out. So with your training in integrated attachment theory, is there any tool that you find works really well with clients that seems to be really effective?
Yeah, I think, again, going back to needs, letting my clients know that they have needs as a person, it doesn't make them needy, is a huge game changer for them, because that way they're able to advocate for themselves in relationship. So for instance, if I'm working with an AP, I know for a fact that emotional validation is very important for them. And I'll make it okay for them to go and ask for that in a relationship context. So it's okay for, you know, for you to go and ask your partner or your mom or your dad or your friends and be like, hey, like whenever I share something with you, it's important to me that you validate what my experience is. And that helps me feel more connected in this relationship. So the script that I just shared is something that I learned in PDS and at the training as well, the coach training as well. So giving that tool to your clients is very powerful, because that gives them the ability to feel seen and connected in their relationships. And the other thing I want to touch on is also, it's kind of related to communication, but it's like conflict communication, conflict resolution skills. You know, it's just so funny that none of this is taught in school. I wish all of this was like taught in school, college, over and over. And in our family settings too, I think we're just taught to like push things under the rug, just avoid having conflict. Let's not talk about it, right? You either give the other person a silent treatment or you just yell at them. But Thais has like a really nice framework for working with conflict. And it's really through rupture and repair that we grow closer to the other person, right? And we need those experiences that, like Thais says, it's really like, you know, it moves a relationship from conditional love to unconditional love when you communicate through conflict. So that is really, I think, a game changer for my clients and for, you know, people in general when they embark on conflict resolution and have the courage to work through conflict with their partners.
Definitely. That's so beautiful. So Nirosha, as a former anxious preoccupied who's done a lot of work on your own healing, what message of hope and inspiration would you give to someone who might have just learned about their attachment style recently and they're a little nervous to do the work? What would you say to somebody like that about the journey, the upcoming journey, and maybe what to expect?
Well, to my dear AP or FA or DA or whoever it is that's watching, my message would be, it's easy to kind of see healing as this one other thing to do. You know, it could be like a thing to do on your to-do list that you need to check off. But I would invite you to take a different perspective on healing. See it really as this beautiful relationship that you're embarking on, almost like a romantic relationship. Obviously, now this time around, the person is you, right? And I would invite you to kind of pull up like maybe a picture of yourself, a baby picture of yourself, and kind of look into their eyes and try to like see yourself from a fresh perspective. And that's what I did personally, because what happens is as we go through life, we get a lot of conditioning around having to prove ourselves to people. And beneath all of that, I think healing is really like a lot of unconditioning work. It's really like peeling back those layers that got put on ourselves as we went through life. And when we take those layers off and we take that shell off, underneath it all is your true self. Underneath it all is your inner child. And so I would invite you to kind of look at healing that way, versus like a transactional process where you're like, oh, I need to heal my attachment style so I can stay in a relationship with my DA, or I can attract this other person into my life. See it more of as this romantic, beautiful adventure that you embark on. So that would be my piece of advice to any APs that are watching. And the thing about this is like healing is not linear. It's not like you do A and B and you get C. It is really a lifelong journey, and it is a practice of self-connection. And connection comes so naturally to all of us. So you can't go wrong with this. You can't go wrong with like connecting to your heart space. It's almost like, you know, when you look at the sunset, you're like in awe of it. And it's like kind of bringing back that awe into your life where you are like looking at yourself from that place of awe. Like when you look at a baby, you're filled with awe. So it's kind of like the same type of relationship that you start developing with yourself.
I love that. That's super inspiring. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I love how you say it's a matter of like, you're not building and adding all these like crazy new skills. You came into this world pure and good enough and not defective. And like, there's a million things. You're just this loving creature that comes into the world. And it's because of our circumstances, situations, upbringing, and things that come through our life that we sort of add on these negative beliefs and they sort of stick. So what we're doing now is sort of stripping that away and going back to the amazing, perfect, conditionally deserving to be loved person that we are. I love seeing that process sort of in a reverse way. I like how you put that. Okay, so as we come close to the end of the interview, I just wanted to ask, are there any like non-negotiable rituals that you do every day to keep yourself in a balanced and grounded place?
Yeah, one thing I do on a daily basis, I take myself out on a walk and I speak to myself. I speak to my inner child. So I'll ask myself questions like, hey, like, what did you like about today? What were some moments of glimmer? What lit you up today? And that really helps me get in touch with my heart space, because we're always working out of our minds. We're always like stuck in our, you know, thinking a lot. So having that practice connects me to my heart, connects me to my inner child. And the other thing that I've kind of made a point that I do is like, I forgive myself every time I make a mistake. I make sure that I have that as part of my daily ritual where I tell myself it's okay, you know, if you mess up. And one thing that I came up with, and I just recently made a podcast about that too, I'm daring myself to be imperfect. So I call this my personal dare to be imperfect challenge. So even when I was preparing for this podcast, you know, I had like a million things I thought I wanted to talk about, but I was like, you know what? I'm just going to show up as me. And if I fumble on my words, I'm going to let myself do that because it's my energy that's going to talk right at the end of the day. So I would invite people to do something similar to that as well.
I love that. And that's almost the perfectionist work, is to go out and make mistakes. Screw up, make mistakes, make the wrong choice. And just to prove to yourself that like, it's not the end of the world. You're still a great person. You're human. And you need to give yourself leeway because everyone makes mistakes. There's just no way around it. And then I love how you said you go on your walk and you sort of highlight the best parts of your day or things that you did well. Again, this sort of puts our focus muscle onto those things. So then we're naturally going to try to look out for those things, even we're not really paying attention to it. Subconsciously, if you keep doing that over and over, we're going to sort of tip the scale into looking at what's going well in the day instead of looking at what's going bad or what's wrong. So that walk that you do every day sounds like it would be super beneficial. Okay, so lastly, I wanted to ask, what services are you offering these days?
So I'm a life coach who offers one-on-one coaching for anyone going through anxiety, grief, perfectionism, codependency, a painful breakup. I love working with empaths, especially since I'm an empath myself. I'm also, like I said earlier, starting a support group coaching for those that are going through a breakup or need help walking away from a situationship. Because like I said earlier, it can really be like an addiction. And the pull to go back is really, really strong. Right? And keeping that door shut is super hard because these days we have our phones and people can always text us whatever. And, you know, before we know it, we're find ourselves texting this person again. So I just crave that as a person when I was going through my breakup. So I am kind of in the process of building a community like that. And also I'm building an HSP support group. So as HSPs, as we go through life, as we touched on earlier, we feel like we don't fit in and we really need help feeling understood and feeling connected in relationships. So I help HSPs advocate for themselves in relationships, feel understood, and also be surrounded by like-minded people who like having deep conversations.
Wow, that's amazing. And I just wanted to give you a shout out, Nirosha. We used to have what's called a community Q&A in personal development school. We have so many different like events and weekly routines that we offer students. And community Q&A was one that I hosted. And Nirosha would come pretty much every class. And basically what we do is someone comes to the class with like an issue or a problem or a situation they're having. And then we get the community to answer and use some of their sort of knowledge and skills that they've picked up along the way to help support someone who's going through this. And Nirosha would be there every class and have her hand up like so many times. And you were just so good at like holding space for people and just letting them know some practical steps they can do to feel better or to sort of improve the situation. So that's why I was like super excited to have you on today, because I was like, oh, she's so good at like helping others and sort of knowing where people might not be seeing what they don't see and offering different perspectives. So I just wanted to give you a shout out for that. And all those things you mentioned, I know that you're probably such a benefit to your clients and future clients as well.
Thank you so much, Mike. I really, really appreciate that. That's like moving me to tears right now.
That's good. That's good. Okay. And lastly, how can people get a hold of you? Where might they find your social media, your YouTube? Where can people find you?
Yeah, you can always email me for one-on-one coaching or group coaching. My email is my first name, which is N as in Nancy, IROSHA 2627 @gmail.com. And my website is N as in New York, lifecoaching.com. And I also just started a podcast and YouTube, both with the same name. It's called Deep Conversations with a Sensitive. And this is where I share raw personal stories about my life, because I really believe in the power of stories. They make you feel less alone, because now you're like, oh, this other person is going through exactly what I'm going through. So I deeply believe in the power of stories. And also my recent breakup pushed me to start writing things that I felt like I had to share with the world. I posted them on Instagram. So my Instagram is Nirosha, which is my first name, _attachment_life coach. So you can find me there. I'll just post blurbs about like things that are going through in my life, and hopefully you'll be able to relate to them and learn something from them as well.
That's great. Thank you so much again, Nirosha, for being here. I enjoyed getting to learn more about you, and I hope our viewers and listeners did as well. And just thank you again for being here today.